Hello, I'm Bob Seifert, and I'd like to introduce you to the Scripture Memory Study Plan. I hope you're as excited about this as I am. If you have elected to lead an individual or group through this study, you will be in a position to observe the Word of God at work in the lives of people. There's nothing else like it here on this earth. To see the Spirit of God take the Word of God and transform a human life. To see His truth penetrate to the depths of a human soul. Remember the passage in Hebrews 4:12, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now here's what your responsibility is going to be. First of all, it's my desire to provide you with this group leader's guide and cassette as an aid to you in teaching the Scripture Memory Plan. If you have never been through this course before, then it is doubly important that you follow the instructions, read, and use the guidebook. But even before you assume this responsibility, you should be much in prayer. Make sure that there is no unconfessed sin in your life that might hinder God using you in the lives of these people. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Remember, God can't use an unclean vessel. The Holy Spirit does not anoint materials, books, cassettes, or even Bible study forms. He anoints living people, people who have dedicated themselves for His use. And so I trust you have done this, and that you have placed yourself in His hands, prepared for His use according to 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. In a large house, there are not only articles of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. What do you have to do to prepare? Well, before you meet with your group, it's vitally important that you familiarize yourself with this leader's kit in its entirety. There are two messages on this cassette, one for you, the leader, to which you are presently listening, and on the other side, one for use in the group if you so desire. The content of the second message is primarily motivational and may be listened to at the beginning or the introductory session. Your group leader's guide will serve you like a manual, and you'll want to refer to it often as you get the group underway. Included is one set of everything that the student uses, which consists of the study blanks, verse cards to be memorized, and the verse pack to carry the cards with you. Your personal preparation for the group and for each session is of the utmost importance. Be sure you have the assigned verse memorized with the topic, word perfect, with the reference before and after. Your enthusiasm and faithfulness will set the pace for others in the group. Come with the attitude, "I can do this, so you can do it too." Have your study completed and recorded in the study blank. If people in your group see you haven't anything written down, they'll think it's not all that important. Naturally, you may be able to do further research and study over a broader portion of the passage. As suggested on page 4 of the Leader's Guide, have some preliminary questions written down to stimulate discussion. These should come from your own personal study and what you might anticipate as being questions in the minds of the students. You might already know the answer, but your purpose in posing the question is to get them to talk and to discover the answer for themselves. You see, this is one of the great differences between a group discussion and lecture-type teaching. In the Bible lecture or classroom-type teaching, the leader dispenses his knowledge on the subject, and the students take notes and maybe ask questions at the end of the lecture. This is very effective teaching, especially if the pastor or teacher is well prepared. And, of course, this is universally accepted as a method of building up Christians in their spiritual knowledge. But in leading a group discussion, the students come together somewhat prepared, having done the lesson ahead of time, not only to ask questions, but also to share their discoveries. The leader simply guides the discussion to keep it on the subject. He calls for certain responses and discreetly interjects facts and information to enhance the discussion. When you proceed, you might keep this in mind. Someone has said, "Well begun, half done." I can't emphasize too much the importance of getting your group off to a good start. If you already have some people assigned to you, say in a Sunday school class, be sure that you're familiar and enthusiastic about this course before you introduce it to them. If you just sort of wander in the first day and say something like, well, I got this memory stuff from the bookstore the other day. I thought we might try this in our Sunday school class for a while and see how it goes. Now let's see. Here's the leader's guide. I guess that's for me. Look, here's a tape to listen to and so on. You see what I mean? It sounds more like you're ambling through a flea market on a lazy afternoon. They won't buy it. They'll be thinking, if my teacher hasn't taken the time to get familiar with this course, it can't be very important. The class may still come, but they'll never enter into it enthusiastically. On the other hand, if you show enthusiasm and a joy because you are convinced God has given you this opportunity, then they will stick with you through all six topics. If you have familiarized yourself with the material ahead of time, they'll be excited and eager for each new session. Now, assuming you've been going for a few weeks and people are getting into the course, a typical session might go something like this. As people arrive and begin to take their seats in a circle, greet them and visit briefly with them. Now, even though everyone you're expecting has not yet arrived, you should begin to pair them off and start them on their review in the memory verse for that week. Of course, you, their leader, should always review with one in the group, preferably with a different person each week. Others coming in will see this and automatically sit down, face each other, and do their verses. If two people happen to be memorizing in different translations, it's a good idea to exchange cards so the one checking can follow to make sure it's memorized correctly. Then if there's still time, the pair reviewing can go back and work on verses from previous weeks. It's also best not to memorize too far ahead of the assigned verses. After about 10 minutes or so, you'll notice people putting their cards away and facing you. This will indicate they're ready for the discussion, and you can say something like, okay, has everyone had an opportunity to check out their memory verse? Good. Tom, will you lead us in a word of prayer now and ask the Lord to direct our discussion time? And that way you can get into your discussion over the passage. Now, most discussion sessions will find 30 to 40 minutes adequate to cover the study passage. This depends on the size of the group. The larger the group, the greater the tendency to get hung up on one point or one person's problem. Try to answer any legitimate, honest questions, but beware of getting sidetracked. As the group leader, you need to ensure that the discussion stays on the topic and the passage being studied. Let me suggest something for your encouragement. After the group has progressed for 6 weeks and covered the first six subtopics, you may want to have one session for review. Now, this is optional after the first six subtopics, but should definitely be done after 12 weeks. During this hour, you might allow a longer period of time for reviewing the verses, say like 15 or 20 minutes. Then for the remainder of the time, you might discuss all six subtopics together in your group. You might ask some to share what progress they have made in their challenges, or what answers to prayer they have seen in the past weeks. It's important to remind them that they're also applying the Word of God to their lives. Sometimes, as I take a group through a review session, I'll have different ones quote the verses that apply. For example, let's say using the wheel illustration. Now, group, you'll notice in a wheel of this kind that the power is applied through the hub. This is true in our Christian lives as well. If we have made Jesus Christ the center of our lives, then He should be the driving spiritual force in our daily lives. Will someone quote for us the passage which speaks to this point? Then someone in the group quotes Colossians 2:6, or you may decide to call on someone in the group. Then you might continue like this. Now, in looking at the wheel as an illustration of the Christian living the life, the world sees the result of this Christ-centered, Spirit-filled life. Our neighbors, friends, and associates at work don't actually see Christ, but they see Him in us expressed by our obedience to Him in daily living. Would someone kindly quote the verse we memorized on this topic? And then someone from the group would quote 1 Peter 1:14. So in this manner, or as the Lord leads you to innovate and give you ideas, you can use the illustration to pull it all together for them in one of these review sessions. It's important that you evaluate your progress. At the end of each quarter, or 13-week period if you have a review session, you should evaluate where you are. You may want to do this openly with your group, but you should have been receiving feedback and comments from individuals in the group by now. You can certainly ask yourself some key questions to determine if your leadership is guiding the group to a deeper and meaningful walk with the Lord. You might ask yourself, am I communicating? That is, are the people understanding what I'm saying as evidenced in their discussion and in their completed assignments? Another thing, are all the individuals in the group participating in the discussion? Have some of them dropped out? That will certainly tell you something about your success as a leader. You may have to call them up and see if there is something hindering their coming, perhaps their schedule, an illness, or some unforeseen circumstance. Another thing you might ask yourself, are they still motivated to continue? Remember, your job is to encourage them and be a servant to them in their progress. Don't give up if your group has some dropouts, but stick with the faithful ones, even if it's only a few. How are they doing in their scripture memory? In their review? How are you doing in your memory work? Be a pace setter in this. Remember, examples are set, not shown. Forming a good memory habit means never letting an exception occur. Another thing to ask yourself, are the applications working in their lives? A good time to evaluate this is in the 6th or 12th week review time. You can ask the group to share what changes God has made in their lives. Ask them to look back over their study blanks and see if they have, in fact, put into practice the application or challenge the Lord gave them that week. Yes, these are adventurous times as the Spirit of God works in hearts. People are hungry for God's truth all over the world. May God bless you as you look to Him to use you and His precious Word to change lives for His glory.